we've got two parables in Luke 18, which we're going to turn to now, so you can get ready. Sadly, we've not got time to do these two powerful parables complete justice. But the incredible reality is that we all know that God's word is never spoken and read out loud and returned empty or void. Even hearing God's word can bring encouragement, insight, a word for today, and stir our hearts. And so it's great to take this opportunity now to read these parables together and just to spend a brief moment just thinking about how they can inspire us and help us, especially in regards to prayer. Let's pray, and then we'll get stuck in. Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Yeah, thank you that it brings life. It speaks right to our hearts. Thank you for the encouragement that it can bring and conviction that it can bring. Would you help us to have an open heart to your word right now as we read these parables? Yeah, would we hear what you want to say to us today? How you want to adjust our perspective or encourage us? In your precious name. Amen. So as I say, we've got two parables to look at. Both absolutely fantastic, giving us a little bit of encouragement and insight on prayer and going about prayer. So we're going to look at the first one very briefly and then hopefully unpack the second one a little bit more if we've got time. So the first parable, so we're at Luke chapter 18, verses 1-9. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" Simply put, Jesus is encouraging us here to keep praying, to keep bringing our petitions to him, and to not lose heart. Life, as we all know, is somewhat and can be really unpredictable. And sometimes life can throw up some stuff that we just didn't see coming around the corner, and it really knocks us for six. And there's some stuff in our lives or in the lives of others and around us. And, you know, we spent time praying for the world and what's going on around the world. And very quickly, we can become overwhelmed by the injustice and the hardships that we might be facing. And Jesus is saying here to us, he's saying, don't lose heart. Keep praying. Keep bringing these things to me. Keep bringing them. He understands. He knows what we're going through. Keep bringing those things. Those areas where we want to see justice, where we want to see God's right way established, where we want to see what's right and fair come to fruition, where we want to see breakthrough. Or maybe some of us are feeling pretty worn down or battered by our overall enemy. Our enemy, the devil, is trying to steal, kill, destroy, to spread fear, to deceive us and distract us, and to tempt us. And maybe we're worn out. Maybe actually we're feeling quite battered by the enemy. Like the widow came, and the widow goes to the judge, knowing that the judge is the person who can bring justice. Now in this case it was a bad judge, but we have a good judge. We have the Lord who is on our side and who is for us. And we may be feeling battered down by certain situations. We may be limping a bit. Maybe we've been praying for a long time for breakthrough in a certain area, and we're saying, God, we need justice. We want to see your justice here in this area. Or maybe, as I say, the widow she wanted justice because of the way that her enemy was treating her. And maybe we have a common enemy, and that is the devil. And he could be wearing us down with any of those things. He's trying to distract us. He's trying to deceive us. He's trying to fill our hearts with fear. He's trying to tempt us off the good path. And maybe we're struggling. And Jesus says to us today, and I take great encouragement, is keep praying. Keep going. Don't lose heart. Keep calling on his name. Because those things where we're struggling, pain, injustice, the devil, death, brokenness, all of those things will not have the final word. Those things will not have the final word. Jesus will have the final word. So take courage. I'm speaking to us all. Take courage. Don't lose heart. Keep persistent in prayer. Jesus will have the final word. And we can hold on to that promise. We come to a second parable, which in some ways does relate to the heart again. I think the first parable, there's a sense in which it's don't lose heart. And guys, we need to not lose heart. But the second parable, this one kind of says to us, we've got to have the right heart. And we need to keep our hearts in check. So let's read it, and then we'll try and bring it to life a little bit. So, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. In some translations it says, the sinner. God, have mercy on me, this sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. So another parable relating to prayer, but very much this time about our approach to prayer and asking us to consider what it would be to have the right heart as we come into prayer. So we've got these two characters, and they give us two very different perspectives, two very different attitudes. I think it would be good to bring this to life a little bit. So I'm not going to go crazy, but I just feel like just having some people involved, maybe having two people up here that could represent these characters for us, might just help us in our visualization as we just kind of look at this parable a tiny bit together. So what better assistance could I ask for than the Craigo boys, John and Paul? I think give them a little round of applause as they come down the stairs. Thank you, boys. Thanks for coming. So let's get John and Paul up here to represent these two people in our parable here. So we have a Pharisee and a tax collector. So John, you're here first. Which one would you like to be? Can choose.
I'll take the Pharisee.
You're going to take the Pharisee. Okay. All right. So we've got John as a Pharisee and Paul as a tax collector. Okay. Now you haven't got to do a lot, just kind of visual representation really. Okay. So for the Pharisee, you definitely want center stage. So back here, if you're feeling bold, you can stand on the stage if you want, or at the pulpit. Yeah, why not? So your center stage, prominent position. Okay. Definitely your head's up pretty high. You're feeling pretty good about yourself. And it's all for you. It's all about a show. So you can have your hands up as you pray. That's however you want to do that. Now, Paul, you are a tax collector, and in our parable, you're wary about coming into this place. You've stood at a distance, and you're definitely not looking up. So if we can just tuck you over towards that lamp a little bit, and just kind of behind the piano, so you're sort of in the room, but you're not in the room. You can maybe go a bit closer to the window, you are head down for sure. You are very, very aware of the bad choices you've made in your life, of which there are many, Paul. And you have come into this place of prayer very aware of your shortfalls, very aware of the way you've betrayed God and your people. And so your head is down, you're hardly in the room, but you're over there. We'll just read it one more time with these two stood here, because I think that might actually be helpful to some degree. So we can just maybe have a look and pull out a bit as we go along. So Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed. Now notice the I's here. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. I fast. There's a lot of self-focus here. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. He does look very pleased with himself, doesn't he? But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, Jesus uses a style of teaching, and he's using it here as well in the parable, called hyperbole teaching, which is like extreme and vivid and provocative. And it's an amazing craft and skill that Jesus has as he tells parables. He gives us these like incredible illustrations that are so memorable to the crowd. It must have been so striking to hear like some of these things for the first time. He's saying things like, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. At one point he says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to go to heaven. Or we get things like, don't worry about the speck in someone else's eye, worry about the plank in your eye. Amen. And it's just like incredible, vivid, provocative teaching that was so striking. And for those people, as they heard it, they must have been just blown away and just like, whoa, my word, like this is massive. This is so powerful. He spoke with such authority. And we get the same here. We've got a very extreme picture where Jesus picks two extreme characters and portrays their hearts in two extreme ways. Now, it's incredible. I love Jesus' teaching, and the parables are amazing, and the hyperbole teaching is memorable and incredible. I guess there is, though, the slight risk that we could end up hearing the parable, the story, and not placing ourselves within it. We could end up deciding a little bit like, I'm not this person, but I'm not that person. There's a risk that we don't find ourselves in the parable, and we must find ourselves. We must find ourselves within this parable, and we must consider our heart, and we must consider where we're at. And so we need to consider for a moment, where are we at? So we've got two very extreme characters. We have the Pharisee, who is very proud, very self-righteous, and is looking and comparing himself to others and feeling very good about himself and elevating himself above others. So that's the one extreme. And then we have the other extreme, which is someone who has really messed it up, really got it wrong, has lived, like I said, a life of betrayal, betrayal to Heavenly Father, and betrayal to his people, and is full of sin, and just feels completely worthless to even enter the place of prayer, and feels like just that he's beyond help but needs help. And so you've got these two extremes, and so we have to ask ourselves, like, where are we in this parable, and how are we doing? Like, where are our hearts at? Now, hopefully we're kind of wanting to find ourselves over here. Like, that we're wanting to be the person who's aware of ourselves and our shortfalls, who we would say has the humble heart. And so hopefully we find ourselves saying we want to be over here. We don't want to be like this person here. We don't want to be self-righteous. We want to be humble. Let's just have a quick last couple of minutes look at the two. So self-righteous, we've got over here, not dependent on God, just dependent on themselves. Over here we have at the end of yourself, fully aware of your need for God. Self-centered, it's all about me and how I'm doing compared to others and how I'm doing better. Over here we have self-aware, aware of our shortfalls, aware of the things we struggle with, aware of the things we're getting wrong, aware of the attitudes that aren't right. Over here, self-righteous, comparing yourself to others. Always looking at how am I doing compared to so-and-so, so-and-so. I better make sure I'm doing better than them. Better make sure I'm doing better than him. Over here, comparing his heart and his actions to God's perfect, wonderful way for him. Over here, it's like putting others down, especially to elevate yourself. Putting other people down to elevate ourselves. Over here, being honest and real about our shortfalls. So as I say, hopefully, as we kind of think, where are we and where are our hearts, we want to be over here. And we need to be seeking that. Like, there are verses, I'll read a couple in the moment, verses that speak into humility. And as we, you know, Jesus wants us to walk in a humble way. And God exalts the humble, so we need to be humble at heart. Now, we have to be a bit careful because, like the hymn, our hearts are prone to wander. And so we may at times be right over here. We may be right nestled against this humble tax collector, really in a place of humility. But we do need to be careful because sometimes I know for me, my heart can wander. I'll just pick a couple of little things just to finish with before we read the verses on humility and pray. So maybe we've been thinking something like this. I've been doing really well recently with my Bible reading and prayer times. I know that I've been doing better than some other people. I give lots of time and energy and I volunteer for stuff, church stuff. And I'm aware of some people that maybe they don't give so much time. I don't think they're fully committed. They're not as busy as me. And yet I give that amount of time and I give that amount of money, but they're not so busy. It's a good job I'm committed, especially that I'm more committed than some people that I could think of. It's a good job I'm committed to stuff. I held on to my faith through that really tough time, through that dark days. I can think of someone who didn't hold on to their faith in that time. I did pretty well. I held on to my faith through that time. I need to be careful. My heart is prone to wander. Jesus wants me to walk humbly. But it's so easy. Stuff creeps in, doesn't it? And the devil loves to tempt us. And if we're not careful, we could easily find ourselves becoming a little bit self-righteous, a little bit proud. And so I know I need God's help with that. We're going to pray. Thanks, guys. You can sit down if you want this, rather than stand there for any longer. Thank you. They were good, weren't they? helps bring it alive to just have a couple of people up expressing that. I've already mentioned these verses, just a couple of verses for us as we finish, that says, James 4, 6 into 7, says, like, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. So it's a sense of a continual action. Humble yourselves before God. It's a continual thing. It's not just a one-off, one-time thing. It's a continual thing. Micah 6, 8, I've referenced a little already. He's told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. I've got a prayer that I came across the other day that I just thought was really helpful. A really just excellently worded way of asking God to help us with our hearts and the condition of our hearts. And if you're up for it, it's 3 pages. We'll just take our time reading through. I thought it would be great to pray this together. It really is just simply asking God to help us to remain humble and to humble us where we need to be humbled already. Okay, let's come into a moment of prayer together. O Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I acknowledge my tendency to be prideful, to seek attention, and to be swayed by the opinions of others. Please help me to be free from arrogance and self-seeking, and instead to be more like your Son, Jesus, who did not come to be served, but to serve. May my heart be filled with true humility, a spirit of selflessness that focuses not on myself, but on serving you and others. Grant me the grace to recognize my own faults and to not judge my brothers. Help me to be patient and kind, to love others as you love us, and to give freely of what I have received. God, you oppose the proud, but give grace to the humble. Help me to always submit to your will, to understand my dependence on you, and to walk in humility in all areas of my life. May I become less and you become greater still in my life, so that all may see your glory. Amen.